Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, 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 Hari, Hari. Hare Krishna. So I've been inspired by some of the readings that we've been having in the morning class. In the Bhagavatam, we've been reading about when Dhritarashtra, the blind king, was encouraged very strongly by his son to leave home and to head to the mountains, to give up his family life, and to go off and finish his spiritual study. And Dhritarashtra, of course, was blind in more ways than one, but he does get convinced, and we're just about to the part when he decides to leave. So I was thinking that similarly in the Bhagavad Gita, it talks a lot about this detachment, which is a big part of what we call surrender. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna immediately tells Arjuna that you're a fool because you are so attached. You're attached to your body, you're attached to your family, your members. You don't want to fight. This attachment is not good. And then he discusses all about how to work and become attached to him by giving everything to the Supreme Lord. So this is a recipe that we need to swallow in this lifetime. That we really need to understand the importance of surrender, of becoming detached, which requires some austerity. And so this is something a little bit reminds me of, everyone knows what Velcro is. Sometimes you have it on your sneakers, and you go, and it makes this horrible sound. It's got these little teeny hairs, and they all stick together really, really tightly. Some have more hairs, and they stick harder. But when you let it go, it makes this horrible sound of just like the pains of being detached, right? When you rip that apart, or like maybe when you have a Band-Aid on your hairy arm and you go, ah, and that really does hurt, but all your hair comes off with it, you know? And even though you might pick at the edges and everything, still detachment is there, and it's painful. And it's not easy, because as soon as we come in the material world, we are in contact with sensual objects and we just have a natural attraction for them. But willingly or unwillingly, we are going to experience some detachment in this lifetime. And so that has a lot to do with the mind, of how to detach the mind from these detachments. And so there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, it's on the board there, it's in chapter 17, and it's text 16. We can all say it together. So translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. Purport. To make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can be always thinking of doing good for others. The best training for the mind is gravity and thought. One should not deviate from Krishna consciousness and must always avoid sense gratification. To purify one's nature is to become Krishna conscious. Satisfaction of the mind can be obtained only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense gratification, of enjoyment. The more we think of sense enjoyment, the more the mind becomes dissatisfied. In the present age, we unnecessarily engage the mind in so many different ways for sense gratification, and so there is no possibility of the mind's becoming satisfied. The best course is to divert the mind to the Vedic literature, which is full of satisfying stories, as in the Puranas and the Mahabharata. One can take advantage of this knowledge and thus become purified. The mind should be devoid of duplicity, and one should think of the welfare of all. Silence means that one is always thinking of self-realization. The person in Krishna consciousness observes perfect silence in this sense. Control of the mind means detaching the mind from sense enjoyment. One should be straightforward in his dealings and thereby purify his existence. All these qualities together constitute austerity in mental activities. So the mind is a control station. Things are coming in and it's thinking about them, and things are going out, it's receiving them, and then the intelligence comes in. It also begins to decide whether to reject or to accept. Mind is very busy, as it says in Bhagavad Gita. It's hard to control, even just like the raging wind. So the mind is a very busy place. And if it's not controlled, then we are swept away by material energy, and we lose our real identity as a spirit soul. But when all this is going on, the soul is there, rooting. Oh, come on. No, don't go there. No, don't go there. No. Just, Krishna's right here. Go for him. But the mind usually doesn't listen. So we have to have some training. And so this is discussing a lot of advantageous things we can do to train the mind, which Prahlad Maharaj says we should do in very young ages. It definitely helps when you have the proper training in the beginning of life. So there's so much attractions in this material world, as it says, it's a great austerity. But that is, any austerity will give you strength, right? And it gives you some control. And when you have strength and control, then you can conquer. And you can be successful in the attempt of whatever you're trying to do. So in this way, to really absorb ourselves and to be able to become transcendental to this onrushing entertainment and sense gratification world, we need to train the mind. We need to be a little bit austere with the mind. And the previous satrayas and Srila Prabhupada have so many prayers that are prayers to the mind, asking for help. We can't just do it by ourselves. We're too infantile as far as spiritual action is concerned. So we pray that somehow or other that we have, that the mind will listen. Please, mind, just listen to Krishna's instructions here and to perform some of these austerities of resisting that sense gratification. Many years ago, here in Alachua, I went to the gas station. I was going to go buy my daughter some things for a trip. And I pulled in, and somehow or other I got distracted, and I pull off to go somewhere, and I realize I don't have my wallet. And this was like my very first wake up to that. I was ripped off. Someone stole my wallet. I actually went around and I found parts of it in the bushes about a half a block away. And I'd never had anything stolen from me before. It was like the Velcro, you know. It was really painful that I had this money. It was mine, and all of a sudden, it was gone. I no longer had it. It was like a wake-up call to think that that's just a little thing gone. You know, it was about $60 or something. But when my health goes, when my diseases come, when I'm ripped out of my body, am I really prepared for it? So this lifetime, it takes some time to actually get to train the mind to be prepared for this. So we learn, like in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he got swept away by that deer. Just the other day in the greenhouse over here, I was looking and I saw two little teeny bunny rabbits. They could fit in your hand like this. And they were so cute. I mean, bunny rabbits are just cute, you know? But I thought, Bharat Maharaj, how he got so attracted to that deer. I said, I'm not going to touch him. Mom's around somewhere. I'm not going to do anything with him. Oh, they're so cute. Oh, but if I could just... But no, I'm not going to do that. So I go off. 10 minutes later, Krishna Balaram, who's working in the garden, goes, Mataji, one bunny rabbit is dead, and the snake is coiled around the other one, strangling it. And I go, oh my God, you know. And so I poke the snake, I get him off, and luckily that one was kind of alive, but there the other one is no longer cute anymore. The ants had already gotten on it and everything. So very temporary, you know. All of our loved ones are going to be taken away, our pets. I lost a horse on the street, or hit by a car. My dogs were hit by a car. So many things. So we have to have the understanding and the knowledge that everything there is very temporary, and that we're not in control. We're not the possessor of anything, really. But Krishna is our friend. And we're here in this material world to learn these lessons. So those who are very fortunate, they're reminded of this every day, because every single verse, everything that we read and talk about is about this philosophy of how to understand who we really are and how to work in this material world but not be attached, not be swept away. So we should, as it says here, take shelter of the great stories of the Mahabharata, listen and fill ourselves with Krishna consciousness to give us a higher taste, to realize that the real pleasure is understanding this higher level of knowledge and to relish and become attached to Krishna and to all his associates. The other day we were out preparing for Lord Nrisingadev's festival, making garlands, and there was a brand new girl here. I don't think she even knew what a garland was, but I invited her to come. And so we sit down. You want to make a garland? Oh, yeah, sure. I don't know. Well, you'd have to tell me what to do. And so very very wonderfully, Tapaspini goes, you know, the first time I was ever at a temple, they told me one thing: don't lick the string. Lick the string, because when you put the string in the needle, usually, you know, most people lick it to get it in there. And so she goes, so that was a nice way of telling her, don't lick the string. And so then we started to talk about all the don'ts that we first learned in Krishna consciousness, I remember, don't smell anything in the kitchen, right? You're cooking over a pot. Don't smell anything. Don't enjoy anything, right? And then there's, what are some other ones? Anyone can think of something they learned, first of all? Is that offered? Are you eating that? Is that offered, right? Right, so this is our training because we are infantile. We don't know how to control the mind, not to think of our own sense gratification. So this is the beginning of spiritual life, how to redirect our consciousness to where we can actually control the mind. And so it does feel good to realize that have been thieves and that now we have a chance to give it all back. Many times someone will say, you know, something was stolen from me, but I won't mind if you bring it back. I won't say anything. And so if we really do that, if we really give it all, now we have a chance, give it all back to Krishna, everything, our talents, our possessions, everything, our families to Krishna. So here is in this purport, in general, it's saying don't meddle in sense gratificatory activities. Just don't go there. Somehow it really resists that temptation to be involved in very sensual activities that make you very body conscious. So that's easier said than done. But as we engage in devotional service, as we hear all the do's and the don'ts and engage in them, we get a little purified. And then this service actually gives us a taste of satisfaction. It's extremely satisfying to do service. Yesterday, I think we were talking about how satisfied it was to perform the austerities of getting ready for a festival. A long time ago, we used to go to the Rath Yatra in New York, and we'd spend 2 days, I mean, all night long stringing garlands, a whole temple room. That's a big temple room. But they would buy millions of flowers, and we'd sit there stringing them all day and all day and all day. And everyone was remembering all the great festivals. That was great, very austere, but you're completely absorbed. Just like the other day, all these ladies absorbed and thinking of Lord Nrsingadev making these decorations. So this is the secret, to become willfully, voluntarily offering our energy to Krishna. And this way, we get attached to some of these regular principles. We actually get attached to them because they're really principles of freedom. If you can control your senses, then you have more time to think of others even. Here in the purport, it says that to make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can be always thinking of doing good for others. So if you're controlled and you're enjoying Krishna consciousness, then you have time and you have the potency to tell others about how nice it is to really, in this lifetime, dedicate it towards Krishna consciousness. And that will very much please Krishna, which is the ultimate goal. So that means we have to tolerate a little bit of the inconveniences of some of these austerities. We want to do things, but we can't do everything we want. And sometimes we have to do things that we don't want to do. And that pinches us a little. But that pinch is good. It keeps us awake, number one. And we realize that this is a very valuable commodity that we have, that this austerity of the mind and everything is a very rare item, because we can actually have a little bit of peace of mind with this austerity. And that commodity, if we could sell it, boy, we'd make a lot of money. I'd sell the peace of mind for $100 for maybe for 2 months of peace of mind, $200, I'd raise the price, boy, we'd be rich. But we can try to offer it, and it's a very simple process. So we have to relish what we really have. And this is, of course, guaranteed. Once one takes vows, willingly says that, yes, I'm willing to take this pinch. I'm willing to swallow this little bit of austerity for this higher principle of Krishna consciousness. Then those vows, first of all, they bind us to Krishna, not to the material world. And they they guarantee us that we'll, next lifetime, Prabhupada will help us get back to our original position of eternally serving Krishna. So this is a very important a choice that we have to willingly offer this mind and senses to Krishna. The Nectar of Instruction does give some warning about austerity, and it says that one should not perform austerities for immediate benefit. In other words, this you see often in the Krishna book. Who was it that took off his skin? Starts with a V. He offered the skin into the fire to please Lord Shiva. What? It's something like that. What comes in? Is it Vrikashura? Yeah. Yeah, he was doing the skin thing. And so this, you know, that's pretty austere. But he wanted immediate benediction. Hiranyakashipu wanted immediate benediction. So many people wanted it for bad purposes. And even some people do it for, you know, good purposes. Oh, I'll be really good if you just give me that A on that test or whatever. You know, so this is not really healthy. I mean, it's nice that you're thinking of Krishna. But the best thing is there's a long haul. We have a long way to go in this lifetime. So we need the purification. Therefore, we perform the austerity and the sacrifice willingly for that purification so that we can ultimately become attached to Krishna and hold back our desires for all these other material things. And ultimately, Krishna will dissolve them if we use them in his service instead. Also, there's another warning that we shouldn't perform sacrifice and in the place of devotional service. In other words, I give up my devotional service because I've got to do my austerities. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's spiritual master, he got very angry at some of his students because they would fast all day or do some austerity and then they wouldn't go on sankirtan. And so he said, it was a codicil, yeah, they were performing some of the codicil. You eat grains, I don't care, eat grains, but you go out and do your service. I remember in the movement, it was probably the early 80s or something, maybe the late 70s, we got into this thing where you would stay up all night on a codicil. Really tough. And then, but you have to be there the next morning ready to do your service. But that didn't happen. Everyone was asleep, no one got up for arti, no one did their service. So we said, forget that, forget it, just do our service. Just don't eat beans and grains. So it's you have to make that reasonability in your performance of austerity. That we're doing it to please Krishna and to also to get control of our senses. So all the scriptures, all over the world, I'm sure, hone it down to the leading attachment. And what does anyone think that is? Sex life, right? It all begins with sex life. Attraction, one sex to the other. And then what happens is it grows, right? And it grows and it grows and it gets tighter and tighter. And pretty soon you have gorilla glue sticking you to the Ferris wheel of birth and death. Can't get off the seat. That sex life just sticks you there and you go around and around and around. Because it goes into your family, to your wife, to your grandkids, to your pets, to your house, to your land, to your society, and it gets tighter and tighter and tighter. And ultimately, it goes on life after life. So this is always warned in all the scriptures to avoid illicit sex, of course. And in sex life, transform your family into the spiritual world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and one song says that I see when I do Tulsi Artik and when the wonderful preparations are made for the Lord and the holy name that all of a sudden my home is transformed into Vaikuntha. I see everything, seeing Krishna and everything. So this is the ideal family life, is that it's so directed and oriented towards serving Krishna that it becomes the spiritual world and very purifying also. So we take this formula also, that not to engage, you know, have a balance of the sense gratification and the spiritual life, and train the children to come to the temple, to bow down. There's one little girl comes here sometimes from Mangal Arati. She bows down every few minutes. It's so cute. She just immediately bows down. Yeah, it's really nice, being trained so nicely. So this is the duty of the householder. And of course, the parents have to be very Krishna conscious so that the children follow in the footsteps. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sets a nice standard. If we can include the worship in our home, if we can't come to the temple, then at least that is there, like the morning program. Srila Prabhupada had a strategy for these temples. He wanted everyone to come and become centered on Krishna and to enjoy the services together, just like we enjoyed doing all the garlands the other day and painting and everything. And because it all works in everyone's consciousness, it's a lot more fun when you're all working together. And it makes an attachment to Krishna. You're not going to get attached to the deities unless you come here and see them and do some service for them. It just doesn't happen. Just like attraction for a man and woman, if they don't see each other and have some discussion and everything, it's not going to work. So these temples are there. Prabhupada had them there so that we can become detached from the other material world and become attached to Krishna. Just like this evening. See how many people are here and probably listening online. Why? Because the process really does work. We're choosing to hear these topics of the Lord, to see the form of the Lord, to taste Krishna's prasadam. Maybe some people just got bored and made the wrong turn and end up here, but I think in general, most everyone's here because they had that initial attraction that will only grow and grow and grow and grow. So this this lifetime we can out-trick Maya. She's been the supreme controller in our lives for so many lifetimes. So this time we can out-trick her. And so there's many prayers that say that I hope my attachment for Krishna is as strong as my attachment for Maya, because it is very difficult to break away, but we have to pray that way and pray to the Acharyas to give us that strength and austerity of the mind. I've been reading at night about Katvanga Maharaj, and there's some nice prayers. He's only has a few seconds to live, and this is some of idea of what the perfection of this austerity of the mind looks like in a very surrendered soul. He says, therefore, I should now give up my attachment for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage in thought of the Lord and should thus surrender unto him. This material creation, having been created by the external energy of the Lord, is like an imaginary town visualized on a hill or in a forest. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment to material things, but one must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada says, the Krishna consciousness movement of devotional service is the only process by which to counteract our false prestige in this material world. So this is what we're desiring, to have this kind of consciousness. And this can happen if we can just learn how to say no. And it gets easier to say no to these temporary flickering things. But we have to be convinced that not to go there. And every day we get tempted. Our little fingers go on that piece of glass that's in front of us, and we want to push this and we want to push that. And before you know it, we're off at the other end of the world looking at some crazy thing, and we're gone, and oh Krishna. And then to come back is hard, because then it takes you somewhere else, and then it takes you somewhere else. And our senses are gone. Phew. So it's very difficult in this age. And Krishna's saying, here I am, come, you know, be attracted to me instead. So we have to learn to pull that attention to Krishna all the time. And then, otherwise he might miss his glance at the end of our lives, and then we'll suffer more lifetimes. So we don't want to miss an opportunity to surrender. And there are many opportunities, starting at 4:30 in the morning. Prabhupada included in his list of ways to surrender is, especially at all of our initiations, is 16 rounds, morning program, and read my books. So this is something we all should consider. And also there are many positive to-do things. There's so many things to do in Krishna consciousness to spread Krishna consciousness that will make our hearts more fonder for the Lord. And this is something we should work on every day. There's opportunities to hear class every day, which also are very important, because we have to fill ourselves up, just like I described with the glass of milk. If it's filled up, then when you pour ink in it, there's no room. So we have to keep it pure with hearing and chanting, just like it says here. So this has a lot of interesting things that we can try to perform in our daily sadhana and to see if it works in this lifetime. It's definitely the best and most direct route, as Prabhupada said in that purport, to obtain the attraction again for the Lord. We've been distracted so many lifetimes. Let's not make that mistake again. So anyone have any questions or comments? Or had some problems? And also I'd like to mention that that it's never, we can never retire from surrendering. Oh yeah, when I was a land devotee, we had some, we surrendered to this, we surrendered to that. Guess what? You can still surrender. You're not too old to surrender to all kinds of things. Just like the other day. Very refreshing. I hadn't been chastised in so many years. And I got just like, chastised. And I went out of there thinking, I am such a puffed up, you know, imperfect, whatever. It was so good, you know. I hadn't had that. My authorities chastised me. So it's never too old to surrender to receive that chastisement. And also, it's never too young, for those youngsters in here, it's never too young to use all your energy for Krishna. You aren't going to run out, I guarantee you. The more you put in, the more you're going to get. Go out there and travel in Sankirtan, go start a temple, risk this, go for that, go for this, help with that, do more service than you think you can ever do, and then ask for more. You're not too young for that. You might be too old for that, but you're not too young for that. And you're not too, well, it's not too soon and it's not too late to say no to sense gratification. So you're not too late. It's still going to say yes, come on, come on, come on. And definitely when you're young, come on, come on, come on. So you're not too young and not too old to say, no, I'm not going there this lifetime. I'm finishing up my business and I'm getting out. So, anybody else? Ruchira. Okay, just shout. You can take this down.
Yeah. I was thinking about how, first off, service is real nectar.
Yes.
That's where you taste real nectar. And, yeah, know what the other is.
In service, you're always accompanied by Krishna Katha, so it's always nectar. Prabhupada really waved us, you know, waved our little spark. Yes, go do that. Yes, that sounds like a good idea. Go do it. Go do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep us busy, out of trouble. Yes.
What kind of services would be available at the Eco Farm for one to plug into once a week or a couple times a week?
Take your pick. I have things inside, I have things outside, I have PR work, I've got, we're hoping to have a festival in October, so I need a lot of backup work that I'm not good at. I need people with clerical abilities. There's harvesting now. Anybody wants to help me pick blueberries, it takes about an hour a day to pick the blueberries. Your cucumbers are coming in, and then people in the kitchen don't usually use what I pick because it's a little dirtier, it looks a little weird, so I have to go in there and I have to peel everything, I have to make the yogurt, I have to put the blueberries in it, I have to... So, yeah, you end up to be a cook too. If you just stop by 10 to 2, I'm there. I'll find something for you to do. Don't worry. It's getting hot, though. So there are things inside you can do. We're growing a lot of coriander. All the seeds have to be taken off the stalks. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes. Well, therefore, the regular principles, that knocks out a few. If you've taken that vow and you're initiated, there's no question. You don't go for there, for that.
But it's not admitting, they have to consciously.
Yeah. Hopefully, you're very conscious when you get initiated. This is a vow for life. So, pretty much, that knocks out a lot of sense gratification right there. That's why it's important, Prabhupada. Krishna says, approach the spiritual master. This is required. So, yeah, because that means you have to be very convinced that you really want this. I was just listening to a lecture the other day, and Prabhupada said, the only qualification for this is sincerity in your seriousness. Be serious and be sincere, and you will get success in Krishna consciousness. So, and then if your Prabhupada will help you with what you lack. Okay, Srila Prabhupada, that's great. Richie has one more comment.
Also, the strong desire, the prophet says, just give this one life. Mm-hmm. Just try it. You've had so many millions, just try giving this one life. So it's like, it's a goal if you want to keep pursuing. I want to give this life, and you just see how it changes your life and how it transforms you. So then it keeps you going.
Yeah, it's a challenge, definitely a challenge.
Just to add on that, some of the Shema have said, but it's too hard. And Prabhupada really said, no, give this life. And if you are shorted at the last moment, I will make sure what you will come and fill out the gap. That's a big issue.
Or one time you said, I'll open the back door.
There's a little girl. I don't know what her name is. She comes from Anglarty. She chants and gets enthusiastic. Pays her business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shri Papa Ki Jai.